Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and today I'll be coming to you with Woman to Woman. It's a blessing, as always, to be with you. I love Jesus on today. I just feel like it's just a good time. It is a good time to be in the kingdom of God, and I'm just rejoicing on today and glad to be used of the Lord. Amen. It's been a good week. I pray that you're having a good week. Today is Thursday, and it's already the 15th of May. It's already the beginning of May, and I tell you, God is just really, really awesome during this season in the lives of so many. So many of us are just really getting to the point where we can believe God for some great things in our lives. It's been prophesied that this is the year of opportunity, overflow, and prayer. So be sure that you're tapping into everything that God has for you this year. Don't let yourself be caught holding the short end of the stick. Remember that God has great things in store for you. Amen. Amen. And praise God. And I'm going to go ahead and open with prayer. I wanted to play some music, but my music wasn't working this morning, but that's okay. That means that it wasn't meant to be, so I'm not going to kick against the goals. I'm going to go ahead and move forward in prayer. So let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. I magnify your name. You're worthy, God. You are so worthy to be praised. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. I worship you today, God, and just continually lift up your name today as you have allowed me to come here and do this Woman to Woman ministry program. Lord, I ask that you will bless each and every person that comes, bless every listener, bless every person that listens via the archives, Lord. Lord, we need a word from you, Lord. We need another touch from you, Lord. Let us not go back down here from the same way that we came in, Lord. So we just ask that your blessings be upon this hour, that you will get the glory, the honor, and the praise from everything that I say. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. And God, I will continually give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, that I pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. And I thank God for being God in my life. I thank him for calling me. I thank God for waking me up this morning in my right mind. Amen. That I had the full use of my limbs, that I was able to get out of the bed this morning with no assistance, that my children are well and in the land of the living, and that the trials that I encountered on yesterday did not take me out. I'm alive, and I'm a testimony to the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today I have a lot of topics that I want to be going over. Phone lines are open. And for those of you who are streaming, you can call in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. For those of you who have the desire to be on the air today, or if you want to listen, if you're having complications of hearing, you can always listen by calling in. And the chat room is open. You can go into the chat room. If you came in before the chat room was open, you just have to close out and go back in, and you will be in the chat room. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I thank God for the topics that we have on today. Today we'll be talking about relationships. My thing is he the one? I really want to talk to some of the single women out there who will find themselves in relationships, and I want to ask you, is he the one? I want you to take a look at that and to begin to examine, are you spending time with the man who is called to be your husband? or are you just wasting time? So that is something that we're going to be talking about. Are you in the right relationship? And also, we're going to be talking today about past hurts. I wrote a book, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. A lot of us cannot get into the right relationships because we are encountering and still not dealing with past hurts. And that's really how I said it. I meant to say that we are not dealing with past hurts. So that was not a slip of the tongue or an error. We really need to deal with some of the things that have hindered us all of our lives. Some of us are still hurting from something that happened so long ago, and it's time for us to let it go so that we can move on, so that we can move on. For there is no time to waste. Amen. And that is true, to be enlightened. There is no time to waste. We must continue to move forward on purpose and in power. And where there is pain, that pain will sap your power and you will feel unable to move on. So we're going to talk about that also. And we'll also be talking today about negativity, dealing with negativity. So often you meet negative people, and so often we also carry a negative mindset. So we'll be talking about negativity, and also we'll have a parenting moment and a marriage moment. I try to put parenting and marriage in every program because we need to, for those of us who are married and those of us who are parents, we're married every day, and we are parents every day. So the more help that we can get in those areas, the better. The more help that we can get, the better. So those will come towards the end of the program. And I just thank God for all of you who have tuned in on today. I thank God for To Be Enlightened, my brother Sean. God bless you. Good to see you. And to the glorious one, God bless you also. Good to have you with me. Everyone in the chat room, as well as everyone that is streaming, I want to give a shout out to some of my church members, Prophetess Angelina Singletary, Prophetess Singletary, as well as Sister Linda McCray, and all of those who have told me that you are listening. I want to give you a shout out. Thank you for supporting your pastor. I'm out here doing what God has called me to do, and I'm a blessed woman to be able to do this. So I want to give a shout out to my church members and also to Michelle Hughes. God bless you. For I see you there. God bless you. And we're going to just go ahead and move on. We've already prayed, and we're going to move into today's topics. Again, the phone lines are open. The phone lines are open, and you all can feel free to call in. Let's talk about this relationship thing. I wanted to ask the question. When I thought about relationships, the question that I wanted to ask was, is he the one? I'm not talking about those of us who are married. I've been married for over 12 years to my wonderful, 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 did I tell you he was wonderful? My wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, and we have a great marriage. Are you, for those of you who listened last week, I played the clip that we did from a skit where we had an argument. And that argument was symbolic of the fights that are taking place in so many people's homes. When I was growing up, that took place in my home where my parents, they argue all of the time because my father was an alcoholic. My father drank, and God bless his soul, because he did get saved, delivered, set free, and now he has gone home to be with the Lord. But he was an alcoholic, and he would come home drunk and start fights with my mother. My mother was no wimp. She fought back. So not only did they argue, but they fought. And that's what I grew up seeing. And then I watched the soap operas. So my life became a replication of what I saw in my home. My mother and my father arguing and fighting with each other. So I tried to make my husband fight me because I thought that that was the way relationships were supposed to be. If he could hit me, then that meant that he loved me. But you know, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. There is no reason, and I'm laughing because I'm looking in the chat room, but there is no reason for a man to abuse a woman verbally or for a woman to abuse a man verbally, and there's no reason for either one of them to put their hands on each other. Abuse is not love. If a person has to hit you, then they are the wrong one. He's not the one, women of God, or all women who are tuning in today. He is not the one. If he has to push you, if he has to curse you out, if he has to put his hands on you or be aggressive with you, then he is not the one. And you need to really reconsider that relationship. As a matter of fact, get out. Get out and wait for your Boaz. Wait for that man who's going to treat you like the queen that you are. Don't you know that you're queen? You are a queen, and you are already a good thing. Amen. So you don't have to wait for a man to come into your life to validate you. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, will you marry me, in order for you to feel like you are valuable. You are valuable already. And I did say that the phone lines were open, and I love what's going on in the chat room. The chat room is the place to be, and I just ask everybody in the chat room, be respectable of each other. We all have something to contribute, and we want to do that with decency and with order. So let's just respect each other, because we're called to love as people of God, and I may not agree with you, you may not agree with me. I'm going to respect you, and I just ask that you respect me. That's all that I ask, and respect all of the guests that come on the show, come on the program. Praise God. So area code 562, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Yeah, and we got power for you today, sister. What is up? This is Sean.
Amen. God bless you. So good to hear you, my brother.
Oh, see, always on point and always on topic.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, it's my, you know, it is my goal to just be able to come as a woman of God and to be able to share. Today is women to woman to woman, and to be able to share with women and say, you know what, these are some of the things that we need to be dealing with, and let's deal with them and talk about them and make sure that we're on the right track. So today I started out with relationships, as you can see. And so many of us are in the wrong relationships. What do you have to say about that, Brother Sean?
I have to say this, that every single person who was listening right now, you get up, go look in the mirror, do the self-check, start the self-assessment if you hadn't already been doing it. Am I the person I need to be? Am I with the right person? See, because
Amen.
you have to be what it is you claim you desire. You got to be love in
that's
order
good.
To have love.
Oh, that's good.
You got
Amen.
To be right in order to have somebody that's going to treat you right. So if your mirror is showing or reflecting anything other than what you profess you want, then it's time for you to check yourself.
So basically, you're saying exactly what I believe, that we should do that self-examination, because the reason that a lot of us can't make it in relationships and the reason that a lot of us are in the wrong relationships is because we haven't dealt with those issues.
We have we've been having discussions. I've been in and out of many a program here the last couple weeks, and the big common theme that I'm coming to see and hear. There is a movement happening, and it's a spiritual one, and it's moving amongst people who are of the faith, those who aren't of the faith, and everyone in between. There is something happening, and this change, this whole change dynamic that we're hearing in the media, in the political scene, because it is upon us. And right now we're given the opportunity to shape the future right
yes.
now.
Amen.
And it's whether or not you're going to be a part of the positive change for the future, or are you going to continue to be a part of its demise? And that is an individual and a collective choice.
Yes.
See, and same thing going with these relationships. If you want a healthy relationship, you first and foremost have to be healthy in mind, body, and spirit.
That's right. Amen. And that's another thing that I tell women and I tell men. I don't tell men that much because I do a lot of ministry to women. And I tell women, look, if you focus on your relationship with God first, you know, you have to make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord first. The Lord tells us to love him with all of our heart, our minds, our soul, and our strength. And I tell people, you love God. If you're loving on God like that, then everything else is gravy. That's the overflow. So you love people from the overflow. The way that I love people, the way that I love my husband, because I couldn't love a man, because I couldn't trust a man. I told you about my drama growing up and when I first got married. I had to come to God. I had to say, God, you know what? I'm going to love you. You know, thank God that Jesus died for me so that I could know what true love was, that I was first able to hear the gospel. See, I first had to hear it preached right, because I had a lot of preachers coming to me just telling me about the hell part, that I was a sinner and I was going to hell. But I needed somebody to come to me and tell me that God loved me. See, that was the thing that won me over. The love of God was the thing that won me over. That's the thing that got my attention. So when I learned about the fact that God loved me in spite of my wretchedness, in spite of everything that I had done, in spite of everything that I had been through, everything that had happened to me, because I wasn't feeling that lovable. But when I found out that God loved me, then I was able to love God, because we know we love God because he first loved us. So I was able to love God, and through the love that I have for God, I learned about what real love really is about, the love that God has for me. See, God loves us unconditionally. And see, when we receive that, when we're able to receive that love, then we're able to have victory in our relationships that we have with other people on this earth. And we know that God is not a God who abuses those whom he loves. So then we don't receive that from anyone else. If my God doesn't abuse me, if my God doesn't beat up on me, if my God doesn't hate on me and call me out of my name, then I'm not going to allow a man or any person to do that to me.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
And you see, if people just follow Christ's greatest commandments, see, how much better would this world be? He said, love God first, then love yourself, then love your neighbor in the same manner.
Yes.
And if we would do that, we wouldn't be a need for us to have these talk shows.
Yeah.
But everybody be at home loving themselves and loving one another, and we'd have
that's
heaven
good.
On earth.
Amen.
So, but that very simple commandment. Everyone, you know, they'll talk about the 10 and use that as clubs to berate and beat and condemn people, but I have yet to be in a church where I've seen that the greatest one put up first. I've
Ooh.
Never seen it.
Oh, you got to come to our church. When you're in New Jersey, make sure you give me a call because we have.
I'll be making the rounds. Please believe me.
Amen. Praise God. Because we have so much love, and that's what draws the people to our place of worship.
Right,
because
that's what's needed. The world needs love.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, what the world needs now. And even when I wasn't a believer, even before I became a Christian, I knew that the world needed more love. I knew that. We have another caller. Stay with me, Brother Sean.
I'm right here.
Amen. Area code 586, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Well, hello, Pastor Rebecca. This is Michelle Hughes. You know, when you start talking about relationships, you know, I just have to call in.
Oh, yes, you have to call.
I just have to call.
Amen.
In.
Michelle Hughes is in the house. Amen. Praise God. Because I know that this is your topic.
Well, you know why? It's because, you know, as I was joking with you in the chat room about, you know, when you said you were beating up on your husband, I said, you had to get them demons out of you. You
that's
know, and
right.
That's true.
You're right.
That is true.
Michelle,
yes.
Whose phone is that? Somebody
is that your...
hitting a phone. Go ahead, Michelle.
Okay. But anyway, I do believe that even in myself, when, you know, I've gone through changes respecting men, you know, I think it comes to a thing where you have to learn to respect men, especially if you've seen in your home, like what you saw too, and I didn't always see respect of my dad sometimes in my home. And so we have to learn how to respect. We have to learn that, and that's through the scriptures. It's through Christ. It's falling in love with Christ that he teaches us how to love. It's not that I'm a big, you know, expert on relationship because I know so much about relationships. I have had a relationship with God for over 30 years. That's why I feel I'm qualified to teach other people about the mistakes I've made and also the things that I did well in relationships. So, you know, I think that's the key, what Sean is saying and what you're saying today, is that the key to most relationships, and I'm serious, if we would just walk in love, wouldn't the world be perfect? Yep. Unfortunately, because of Adam and Eve, that ain't going to happen.
Yes.
And that's not going to happen. So we could just forget about that one. But what we can do is try ourselves to live as better people. And if each person take a step to say, I'm going to try to love my brother, you know, even though they may not be so lovely, because we all come in contact with people not so lovely, but it's up to us to love them even in their unkindness. Sometimes we need to walk away instead of saying things that we know we're going to regret. I've had to do that. Instead of, you know, there was a day I would head you up and be ready to just tackle you with words.
Yeah,
I mean,
same way.
Yeah, you can beat somebody up. I mean, you can tear somebody up.
I cut you, you know, quicker than a whole set of steak knives.
Exactly. Yeah, I was the same way. And love will help you to walk away, you know, when you have. But, you know, and it keeps going back to what we all have said, that when you love God, your aim is to please God.
That's right.
And when we meditate on the scriptures, the word tells us, and Brother Shoren said it, that we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But first we have to love God. And a lot of people can't love anybody because they don't have a love for God, and then they don't have a love for self. So here we are, a lot of us step out and try to get into relationship and try to go and get a man, because we're talking to women today. I know that there are some men who are listening, but a lot of women step out and try to get a man, but they don't have the love of God. But not only that, they may claim to have the love of God, but they have no love for themselves.
And
they have no love for themselves.
You know, for any thundercat to come along, you know, whispering a sweet nothing, and I put the emphasis on nothing, they fall for it.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing, that I want to empower women to say, look, you're better than that. You know, you are lovable. A lot of us, and you know, we're going to intertangle the topics today, because a lot of us can't receive the love of a good man, and we don't know what that love really is because we have been hurt in the past. And I talked about the things that we see in our childhoods, the things that we see growing up, and things like that. And another thing is, some of us have been tampered with. You know, there's been abuse, there's been physical abuse, there's been molestation, there's been abandonment of the father or the mother, there's been neglect of the father. Maybe the father was in the house, but he was emotionally detached. So we have so many different dynamics working against us. But these things are not to be used as excuses. What we have to do is identify what Brother Sharon said. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and say, what is going on with me? Identify what these issues are, and then be bold enough to deal with them, to be able to say, God, help me to deal with myself, because I'm having difficulty even loving myself. That is really the first step.
And you got to cast your pride aside. You know, it's no crime in recognizing that you got a problem and that you need help. The crime is what you fail to do that self-check to recognize the truth about yourself and fail to seek out that help. Because there's plenty of help out there and people willing.
And
some willing to do it for nothing, but you first have to acknowledge that there is a problem.
That there is a problem. And you know what? I just want to interject, because I'm not going to stay online real long. I got to take my mother out. But, you know, I think that's the key here, is the fact that we don't understand that we have a problem. We want to blame somebody else.
Yeah.
It's always the other person.
Because that's
the man.
Yes.
It's the man that I keep meeting. It's not the men you meet. It's you meeting the men. You're attracting who you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Law of attraction.
Yeah. And we have to deal with us. You know, this is really I love what we're doing here, a lot of us here on Blog Talk Radio, where we're not just putting the issues out there. We're not just saying this is the problem, but we are really bringing solutions to the table to say, okay, deal with that fact. You know, in my book, and I highly recommend my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living. in that book, I talk about this issue, these issues from the past. One of them is molestation, where Tamar was raped by her brother. And these were David's kids, King David's kids. And the thing about it is, a lot of women, the statistics say that one out of three, they, it used to be one out of four, but one out of every three women and one out of every six men have been molested when they were children. So the thing about it, this is the secret shame that so many women and men are walking around with, that they can't tell anybody because they're ashamed. And they're ashamed because they feel guilty. They feel like somehow they brought this thing upon themselves. And what we have to realize, and I'm talking to everybody out there who has been molested or raped, or a victim of anything during your childhood, if your parents were alcoholic, if your father walked away from you, if you were abandoned, if you didn't have any attention paid to you, if somebody went to jail, that childhood shame, I want to just let you know right now that is not your fault. It is not your fault that this thing happened to you. As terrible as it has been, and as traumatic as it has been in your life, that your life has been shaped by this event, you have to know that you have to move beyond it, and you have the power through Christ to move beyond it. It's not your fault. That's the first thing God told me to tell. Every time I talk about this issue, God told me to tell women and tell men, because men don't talk like women do. We get together and we will say, well, it happened to me. But a lot of men are not going to step up and say, it happened to me. But God said, tell them that it's not their fault, that they were victims. But through me and through my son, Jesus Christ, they are no longer victims, but they are victorious. We're more than conquerors.
Right,
You're more than a conqueror.
And them hurts and them pains, yes, it's going to take, you know, Christ to be the salve, the heal it, you know, on a spiritually permanent basis. But those mental scars, the physical and emotional, go get some help. Because if you could deal with it by yourself, you would have done it long ago. And those things that we keep talking about, the cracks, those resistance factors that keep our love light either not burning at all or keeping it at a very low wattage.
It's faulty. It's faulty. And I do recommend, my husband and I are Christian counselors, and we recommend, if you can't deal with it, if you have prayed and prayed and had hands laid on you and had people put oil on you for healing, and you still find yourself plagued by those demons of the past, and it's very hard for you to look at and hard for you to deal with, then yes, absolutely, get you some help. With me, it started with my conversion in Christ. It started when I became a new creation in Christ. It started when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I was able to begin the healing process. But don't you know, it was 7 years before I was even able to tell my husband, who's with us right now. God bless you, honey. Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But it was 7 years before I was able to tell him what my issue was. He didn't know that the reason that I was messing with him and the reason that I was pushing him away and trying to kick him to the curb like I had done with every man that I've ever dealt with was because I had been molested. He didn't know that I had this secret shame and this guilt. My husband had no idea what was bothering me. But when God began to heal me, and he began to heal me through writing of my books, when I wrote Nobody's Business, and when I began to, you know, that was very cathartic for me. That was very cleansing. It helped me to be healed. Sometimes you just have to write it down. You have to tell somebody. But you got to know who to trust. That's why a therapist is good, because they're neutral. They don't know you. They don't know nobody that knows you. So there's no shame in telling somebody, a therapist, because you're not standing in, well, who's going to find out? You know, if I tell him, he'll tell her, and she'll tell somebody else, and then everybody will know. But once we break the yoke of shame, you know, once we say, you know what, I'm not going to be embarrassed about this because I couldn't help it. I didn't do it. See, when you realize that you didn't do it, it kind of breaks the yoke of a bondage that this thing
has had over your
life.
That's right. And truth, and like you said, and the truth is what's breaking it. You know,
yeah.
God's truth, God's love, that's what's breaking it.
Yes, amen, praise God. Pastor Anthony?
Yes.
Malcolm, I don't know if you wanted to speak. I know you don't like to talk when we're having woman to woman, but I know that you probably have something to say.
On this particular topic, and I'm glad you are addressing it, it is something that we do need to address because whether sometimes even in marriage, people who are married sometimes have not dealt with these issues, and we think sometimes that the clothes we wear, the career we have, and the outward stuff sometimes can allow us to at least feel valuable or feel validated. But again, we got to go deep to the root of really what it is that still has us in bondage. And many people, as I heard the callers are saying, have not really dealt with the issues that keep them at bondage and at bay to become fully what God has called them to become.
That's right.
We all, and especially, you don't want to put race on it, but in the African-American community, counseling and psychiatrists and psychology and people who work as social workers, it was a stereotype that you had a mental some kind of shortcoming if you sought counsel. But we are killing that devil, killing that demon.
That's right.
As the caller said,
yep.
Sometimes, listen, you just can't do it by yourself. The Bible says in a proverb that a nation falls for lack of guidance.
Yes,
but
yes.
With guidance and many counselors, victory is sure. And we need to recognize, even as the church and those who, again, come in Sunday after Sunday and still not really healed, God wants us made whole and wants us whole, and that's the only way our marriages can thrive, and this thing won't go down to our children's children.
Right, because what's happening, you're plucking the head off the dandelion, but see, anybody who has a yard knows in order to kill dandelions, you got to kill it at the root.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
amen.
They just keep growing and spreading.
Amen. Amen. You have to kill
and the
it.
Root lie, the root lies under the surface.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. Michelle, I know you have to go.
And through that, yeah, I do. But you
yes,
know what?
I want to give you a chance to speak.
You know, but through that, I found that until you give it to Christ and allow him to come in and cleanse you, I mean, you know, you have to be regenerated. And,
yeah.
And sometimes it takes years to get through some of that yuck that has been there for years. And sometimes you don't even know it exists. So it's through, you know, sometimes you'll wake up and something will come to you and it's like, oh, I didn't even
yes.
know that was there. You know, it's like, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus, you know. And then he'll show you gradually. Sometimes we think it's going to come overnight. No, you didn't get there overnight. I guarantee you it's not going to drop off you overnight. Some things will. But some of those things that, you know, Satan wants you to stay bound to, because he knows as long as he can keep you bound in some areas, he got you too. And so once we understand that, you know, greater is he that's in us and he that's in the world, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Spirit that comes in and he does surgery and takes out all those things that shouldn't be there. And so that you can really walk in divine healing and your the right relationship that God wants you to walk in with him. I just believe that our relationship should be vertical and not
yes.
horizontal.
Oh, yes.
You know, because when it's vertical, then you know that God has your life in his palms, not you, not just the opposite. When we get out of the flesh, in other words, we have to get out of the flesh
yes.
in order for him to do that. And sometimes it takes time because sometimes we don't want to, you know, I don't want to always do what he tells me to do. You know,
yes.
so then that's when you have to just submit to that power, that greater power that lies within you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's it. Once you get your vertical relationship with God right, then your horizontal relationships with people will
yes.
fall into place. You know, and you and they people will think, well, everything's going to be made perfect when I get my relationship with God right. No. When you get your relationship with God right and you're really walking with the Lord, there are some people that just are going to fall off. They're going to fall out of your life because they're not going to be able to be in your life basically because your standards now have risen to a higher level, and you're not just going to take, and we're talking about male-female relationships right now also, you're not just going to take any Joe Smo coming into your life, giving you, selling you a bill of goods, and he's not treating you right. You know, as I do my book tours with Nobody's Business and Daddy Love, which are novels, and I meet young women who are in relationship, I am amazed to find out that there are so many young women, Christian women, who are willing to be in relationship with men who are no good for them and have no good intentions towards them. It just really blows my mind that we are willing to allow ourselves to be somebody's somebody's toy, somebody's, let me just say, somebody's bedmate without being their wife, that we allow ourselves to be somebody's plaything, that we allow ourselves to be somebody's down low woman, woman on the side, where we think that half a man is better than no man at all. And I'm saying, what's going on here? You know, we really need to reconsider the relationships that we allow ourselves to be in, and we really cannot do that without taking a look at ourselves. That's why you see, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're not talking about what he did. Oh, he did this and he did that, and I can't believe that he was with her. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're talking about looking at ourselves to say, what can I do to be the person, as Sean said earlier in the program, what can I do? What changes can I make to be the person that I need to be in order to have a successful relationship, in order to have the person that I want to have in my life? When we become all that God has created us to be, then we can have all that God has ordained for us to have in our relationships. I believe that's it in a nutshell.
But you can't change anyone else. You can have an impact on them, some measure of influence, but change comes from within.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what you said. The inside out, from the inside out. That's how life should be lived, in the spirit. Because Michelle said something very powerful. The thing about it is, God, when we say, Lord, I love you for real, and Jesus come into my life as my Lord and my Savior, God tells us in the book of Ezekiel that he would give us a new heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And he said, I will compel you, I will lead you and direct you, move you to follow my commandments. And the greatest commandment is love. So as God begins to restore us, and then the Bible tells us that we are going to be no longer conformed to the things of this world, even the things of past sins that someone committed against us that impact us in a negative way, but now we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So now as we begin, we got the new heart and the new spirit and the new mind, my God, you can't win with that. You can't lose with that.
Yeah.
You have, that's a winning hand. You have been dealt with Christ. You have been dealt a winning hand. And too many of us as Christians are not using the hand that we've been dealt, now that we're new creations in Christ. Or yeah, as the King James said, new creatures in Christ.
You still got those jokers in the hand. That's right.
I think we're living sloppy lives. You know, I'm talking about the sisters in, now I'm talking about the sisters in Christendom. You know, we're settling too much, you know, and I don't see why. I got to wait another 20 years to get my right Boaz, you know.
Amen.
I'm going to wait. It doesn't make any sense to, you know, compromise, sleeping around, just doing things that you know that's not pleasing before God. It's not about pleasing the man. It's about pleasing God.
Yeah.
I think when we get that right, it's like we just have so many issues with doing the right thing. I mean, just, it's so easy. You know, Pastor Rebecca, we keep saying the same thing.
Yeah,
it's so easy to me, okay, just to do the right thing. Just say no. No, they say no to drugs.
I say
just say no to sex. It's no ands or buts about it. Just say no. Then you won't have to worry about diseases. Even when you get married, just say no, because adultery is very prevalent in homes. And people say, they talk about Dean, but Dean helps people to understand how to have a better sex life. And when we understand that, it's okay. The bed is undefiled. Why are we acting as if we got to be saints in our bedroom? No way. Please your spouse. That's what's more important.
Yeah, well, basically, your body is not, when you're married, your body is your spouse's.
Exactly.
And his body or her body is yours, you know, and the marriage bed is undefiled. And that's sex inside
the
marriage.
Can you say that one more again so the folks can hear it clearly?
Which part was that? The married part? When you're married, your body is your spouse's.
Yeah, who belongs to who? You belong
to
each
other. Right, yeah, your body is not your own. It's your spouse. I mean, when you're single, your body, you know, is the Lord's. I mean, period. You know our body belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
But when you get married, your body is not your own. It's not your right to even withhold from your spouse. Okay, this is our marriage moment. It's not your right to withhold from your spouse or for your spouse to withhold from you. It's not a ticket that you use or a reward that you use when your spouse is doing everything according to the way that you would want him to do it for the women, because we're talking to women today. This is something that is reasonable service within a marriage, and it should be something that is not burdensome. Making love within marriage is the most beautiful thing. Just read the book of Song of Solomon.
Okay.
You know, that whole book, I don't think a lot of people even read that book, but every married person should read the Song of Solomon, because that whole book is about a love relationship between a husband and wife, and it is hot. It's hot. It really is. And a lot of people will wonder, why is that even in the Bible? But it's in the Bible to remind us that our love for God should be fervent and hot. God says, I don't want a lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. And when he says hot or cold, that means he knows that you're either going to be with him or you're going to be with the devil. But God wants us to be fervent. He wants us to be zealous for him. And that marriage relationship should be symbolic of the fervency and the amount of zeal and the amount of fire that we have for God. So, yes, the marriage bed is undefiled, and we do have to keep the home fires burning.
And if we did that, no, that's a good word. If we keep that home burning in our rooms, people won't be going out fooling around. And if they did, that's their own lustfulness.
Right.
And
Amen.
They need deliverance from lust. If you know you're doing everything to keep your husband pleased, y'all talking about your intimate lifestyle, you know, you're talking about, you know, what pleases the two of you all, because that's you all's business, not the church business, but your business in your home. You know, when you talk about those things, I just believe that people will have better making love. I don't call it sex, you know, I hate that word sex, you know. I like this call. This is what you said, love making. Because when it's with your spouse, that's what it is.
It's worship. Actually, it's a form of worship unto the Lord. I mean, my God, marriage is sanctioned by God. God loves marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and when you think about two people getting together in the marital bedroom, you know, there's nothing more beautiful. There should be nothing. And see, the problem is, this is where we have a lot of problems, that a lot of women don't, because of the past issues, they don't feel, once they, you know, we can have as much sex outside of marriage as we feel big and bad enough to have. But once we are married and it's sanctioned and it's clean and it's pure in God's eyes, now we can't get with the program. A lot of women can't get with the program because they now don't feel worthy of that kind of love, of a good, clean, pure love of a good man. So it really gets twisted. That's why we should not have sex outside of marriage. Because now we are making all of these spiritual connections, and when we get our real Boaz or our real husband, we're too, like I believe Juanita Bynum says, we're already married to all of these other jokers that we have slept with. So, women, keep yourself pure, and we're teaching our daughters. Teach your daughters to keep themselves pure. I have a young lady who wrote a book that I helped her publish, that God is a keeper if you want to be kept. God can keep you in your purity. He can keep your virginity. And even if you were not a virgin when you became a Christian, if you're not a virgin today and you're hearing my voice and you're hearing this program today and you're not a virgin, God can make you a virgin. All that you have to do is commit your body body back to Christ and say, God, thank you for restoring my virginity, and hold on to that thing until you get married. Because that's really, yes,
I do believe what you said is really, I mean, people understand, I do believe God can make you a virgin again, because if you've kept yourself as many years as you were being promiscuous, then you are a virgin, because you God
That's
is
good.
Keeping you. It's not you keeping yourself. God is keeping you now. And it's so easy to go out here and say yes to somebody. But you know what I found? What has kept me all these years, and it's been many years for me, I can say that what's kept me is that I hate the sin of sex. I hate that sin. I'm going to tell you what I hate the most. It's because what it leaves on you. You don't know if you love the man or you love the sex.
Wow.
And why be that confused? So that's why if you hate the sin, then you don't deal with anything you hate. So I figure, for me, I hate the sin. I hate the sin of sex. I enjoy making love.
Yes.
But I hate the sin of sex.
That's good.
And so when we understand that, it's somewhere you have to say, like drugs, you know, I've never done drugs, you know, and so therefore I'm not going to do drugs because I know what drugs will do to me. So when we understand what it will do to you, then you will leave it alone. Sex leaves a bad feeling for women. Men, I hate to be raw right now on your show, but men can wipe themselves off and keep going. But women are not, we're not wired that way. And these new women saying that they are, that's why they're on drugs, alcohol, and everything else, because we're not wired that way. God did not wire us to be intimate with 2 and 3 and 4. There are women who have been intimate as many as 30 and 50 men. How do you wash that off when you get with your real husband? Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Only
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
Amen. And it's a spiritual connection. Even
yes.
A man who loves and honors a woman will marry that woman. If he really, truly loves and honors her, he will marry that woman. So, woman who's listening, and you may find yourself out there looking for love in all of the wrong places, you know, that's why we end up with multiple partners, because we're looking for something to fill the void that's on the inside of us. And so many people are looking for love in all of the wrong places, and we think that because a lot of women, again, have been molested, and this is a thing that really is ugly. It's an ugly sin. And they think that because that's what they were shown and that's what they were taught by the perpetrator, by the person who molested them or raped them, they equate that now with love. So they are now equating sex with love. If I give him what he wants, if I give him my body, he'll love me. But the thing about it is, that's not love. A man that really loves you will honor you enough to marry you. And if he, and then again, make sure you're looking at the right man, because it's not the bad boy. It doesn't have to be somebody who reminds you of your father or reminds you of your first love. It has to be someone who reminds you of God. Let that man remind you of God. Let him have the character of God, a man who's loving and kind and gentle, a man who honors you, a man who treasures you and sees you for the value that you possess. You know, don't just fall into the trap of saying, I got a man, or time is running out. My husband said it last night. Your biological clock doesn't really matter, because there's no timeline with God. A day is like 1,000 years for God, and 1,000 years is like a day. God can keep you as youthful as he needs to keep you, and he can keep you and preserve you for your husband, so you don't have to beat the clock in life. And you know, we just really have to know that God's plan is better than our plan, and his ways and his thoughts towards us are way higher than our ways and our thoughts. And we need to get with God's plan. Woman of God who is holding on, keep holding on. Keep holding on. God has what you need. And God says, as you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. He really, truly will give you the desires of your heart. And man of God, you know, for the men who are listening, learn how to honor a woman. You, I mean, when you dishonor God's precious jewel, which is a woman, then you are dishonoring your father who is in heaven. You are dishonoring your covenant with God. Joseph said it. Joseph hated sin too. Joseph said, you know what? I can have you. I can have you if I want, but I don't want you because God forbid if I sin against my father. It wasn't about the woman. It wasn't about Potiphar. It wasn't about his wife or how beautiful she was. It was about the fact that Joseph honored God. And that's really what it comes down to in our relationships, that we have to honor God in everything that we do and everything that we aspire to be. And you know, even in the words that come out of our mouths, you know, we just have to be sure that when we're speaking to each other, when we're talking to the woman in our lives, when we're talking to the man in our lives, that we're not cutting them down with our words. You know, you could defraud a woman. You could deflock her of her beauty and of her self-esteem by talking to her with the wrong words. And you can emasculate a man, woman of God, by saying the wrong words to him. So we have to, the Bible tells us to let our words be seasoned with salt, you know, and grace, so that we're not letting you know, profane things come across our lips. You know, we have to really live this life, and we have to really, in our relationships, honor God in our relationships. And that's why we're talking about relationships. And I thank God for the Michelle and for Sean, who have called in, because they gave us another, they're giving you another spin on this relationship thing. You know, some me, you know, my thing is I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to do what God called me to do the way that he called me to do it. God has given everybody something different to do, and I've said this before. And I'm not one who's going to close my ears if somebody's talking to me about the realness of life. You know, and Michelle, you talked about being raw. You know, raw, it can kind of go, sometimes it can cross the line. So I kind of like, I my feathers go up when I hear the word raw, you know, but that's me. You know, that's me. You know, on my program, I just try to, I do keep it real, but I just want to just make sure that I'm doing it with grace, you know. I don't do raw too well. So, but I'm not saying I disapprove of the way you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Michelle's still with me, but God is good, and he wants this message to get out, that we have to make sure that we're taking that look in the mirror as far as relationships, that we're taking that look in the mirror, and that we're saying, God, what do I need to do? How do I deal with this? Amen. And I thank God, thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Sean, for calling in and just telling us what God had put upon your heart about relationships. And Pastor Anthony, are you still with me?
Yes.
Amen. I think we lost Michelle. Sean, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, she had to leave to take her mother.
Oh, she left. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so I'll have to touch base with her later. So that's it. Take a look at yourself. Is he the one? That's the last question that I want to ask you. Is he the one? Are you with the right man? Is he the one? Look, don't let nobody.
Rebecca,
yeah.
I'm here. I had to walk away for a minute. I had to do something for my mom. No, I heard you. You know, no, I respect people on their show, and we all have a different platform.
Yeah.
How we talk. You know, I'm still a Christian, and when I talk to my youth, I talk to them the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I respect, you know, what you want had said. That's why I prefaced it by saying what I did, you know, far as, you know, when I made that statement. But it's real. And
yeah.
And that's how I talk.
It is
and
real.
So.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. You, that's,
yeah.
That's you do. That's what the way you do what God has called you to do. You know, some people can't hear it any other way. You
exactly.
Know,
and when you're
really
talking
can't.
To young people, you know, somewhere they're not hearing it, grown folks either. And so I found that when you just, you know, kind of, you know, with respect of who you are as a Christian, sometimes you have to, like, kind of bring it to them so they understand what you're saying. Now, I don't go real raw. You know, sometimes some people go real explicit.
Yeah.
I don't get real explicit, but I will go where I feel they can go, where they understand what I'm trying to tell them, because, you know, we need to understand that this stuff is not going away. And whether
yeah.
we talk about it, you know, try to, you know, use Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Excuse me, folks in our churches are still getting pregnant. So, you know, when we wise up, that we have to find ways to get them to hear us. And whatever it takes, without just blatant, just coming out saying some derogatory things.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. I don't believe in all that derogatory talk. You know, but I do believe in being as raw as I possibly can. So that's, you know. Now, I was here. I had to step out the room, but I had you on speaker, and I couldn't just come back when you caught when you said that. No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming back and responding to that. And I can only do what God calls me to do. And that's the thing. Yes. As leaders, as pastors, you know, we teach the word, you know, and that's why I said we have to make sure, and Michelle, you're a pastor also, so, you know, we have to make sure that we're leading by example also, you know, and we have to make sure that we're practicing what we preach. So I preach, you know, we can't let any profane thing come out of our mouth because that's what the Lord says. So even when we're doing words, because words can paint a picture, we have to be careful about what the picture that we're painting, you know, in front of the people that are hearing what we're saying. So I have to be careful about how far. You know that sometimes I'll pause, or I might even stutter before I say something because I don't want to paint the wrong picture. And that's just me. Like I said, I don't sit in judgment.
And that's good, because you know what? Whether you paint the picture or not, they're still doing it.
Exactly. But I'm not going to paint the picture. That's like saying whether I watch, tell people to watch pornography or not, they're still going to watch it. But I'm not going to put it in front of you. Like in my books, when I write my books, I have written love scenes, like Daddy Love has a love scene. But even then, the Lord showed me how far I could go with that.
Oh,
the love
scene
was still there, but I could not paint a picture of, you know, him doing this, reaching over that. I couldn't paint that picture because of who I am. You know, that's because of who I have a high call on my life.
Exactly.
And that's not everybody, you know, so do you, Michelle.
Right.
But, you know, everybody doesn't have the same call, and God's not speaking to everybody the same way. And that's why we do this.
I don't even go so far. Now, I can't, because I have a love scene in my book, too, but it's not raw. You know, it's not raw to the point of, when I say raw, I call my little rawness, it's just, you know, trying to be a little explicit. But, you know, I'm like you. You don't want to give Satan any more room than he already has over the lives of God's people, because they're not our people. They're God's people.
Yeah.
And so when he
gives us
that opportunity to speak into their lives, we have to make sure that we're doing it with grace and doing it with, you know, his love, and, you know, that he would approve of what we're saying. So that's very true. We just have to be careful in what we're doing, period, at all times, you know. And sometimes we miss it, you know. And and that's okay, as long as we go back and don't continue to do it again. That's why I tell people, if you sin, don't keep practicing. Just don't practice sin, you know.
Yes.
You know?
And I like what you said about hating sin, because God hates sin, and we have to hate sin. And when we get there, Michelle, you know that's the key right there. You know you have the key, because when we get to the point where we hate sin, we're not going to do it.
You won't do it.
If you hate something.
It's not the idea of God keeping me. It's just I hate what the sin will do to me. That's why I don't do it. It's not that it won't bring pleasure to me. I know in the interim, in that pleasure, it's going to bring years of torment. Oh, God, he talks about it. And so we want to understand the torment. Look at the women who go and they have children, years of trying to raise that kid by themselves. And it's not easy. So it brings a minute of pleasure, but in the interim, it brings, oh, my God, so much pain in the end. So I don't like that pain, so I stay away from things that don't make me feel good. I stay with things that make me feel good as a woman and keep my self-esteem intact. I feel when I meet men, and I have met men, I've given it on my show, I've met men who told me they wanted to marry me, and then they wanted me to compromise my walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I guess what? Then you're not the husband for me. And I can point blank tell them that, because I know you're going to be a headache to me in the end. If you want me to compromise my walk just for you to find out how good I am in the bed, that is temporary to who I am outside the bedroom.
Yeah.
Get to know my mind. Get to know who I am. But if you got to get to know my flesh, I don't have no reason to feel that I can't please you in the bedroom, because I know if God sent you to me, that's already together.
Amen.
So that's where faith comes in. When people start talking to me about
Amen.
you don't have no faith. And so when you don't have no faith, then that's how you talk. But when you understand that God will bring the right person into your life, and they will show you how to please each other, even if you don't test it out. I'm not testing out nothing.
I agree.
That's going to be my testimony.
Praise God. Married.
It's my testimony for many years now. It's going to be my testimony when I walk down that aisle, because I know too many people, they got right to the end and messed up. And I tell myself daily. See, we know what I believe, and I'm going to let you finish your show. I believe that if we would just talk to God about the things that we know is going to make us fall, if you know that, oh, when I fall in love, I know the first thing I want to do is give my body to that man, talk to God now. Because what I have found, he will prepare you for when that occur. What we don't do, we don't prepare ourselves for the future. And then when we get caught in the trap, then we can't try to get ourselves, wiggle our way out when it's too late.
Amen.
So
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? We got to prepare first.
Yes. Amen. And that is the end of the show. Amen. Because I only was on for an hour and I can't extend today, but that was a beautiful way to end the show. And I, for everybody who just tuned in, go back and listen to the archives. Powerful. blogtalkradio.com/power. And Michelle, thank you so much for calling in. Sean, thank you for calling in. And God bless you all. We're going to pick up this topic next week because I don't believe that we're finished with it. And the last 10 seconds that we're streaming, look in the mirror. Ask yourself, really, look at your relationship and ask yourself, is he the one? Amen and praise God. So go in peace. Serve the Lord, and we're going to tune out. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember my brother, remember my sister, that God loves you. And so do we, Pastor Anthony and myself, here at Power in the Word. Go and serve the Lord. Peace. God bless you, Brother Sean. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. God bless you all in the chat room. Have a blessed day.